Welcome back to Advancing Nitrogen Smarts, a special series that connects the science of nitrogen in the environment to practical, efficient nitrogen fertilizer management for Minnesota farmers. I'm Jack Wilcox, and I'm a communications generalist here at U of M Extension. As always, here to explain all this, we have Brad Carlson, an Extension educator, and today we have a special guest, Melissa Wilson, manure management specialist, also here at Extension. Today we're going to talk about fall manure application, important do's and don'ts, nitrification inhibitors, soil temperatures, and more.
Thanks, Jack. You know, we've been kind of following through some of our curriculum material for Nitrogen Smart with these podcasts, and those that have attended in person at these meetings know that it's not just always Dan and I, and particularly one of our first advanced sessions that we did was specific to manure, and so glad to have Melissa in here this morning, and it's our probably first one, but not going to be the last, because that was a fairly large curriculum. We've been sort of timely with these podcasts, yet on the other hand, we want them to kind of endure for future use also. So today we're going to deal with a subject that at least at the moment is current, but for future reference, it's going to be out there for a while.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always fun to do podcasts with this group, so thanks.
You know, Melissa, the topic we're talking about today is going to be dealing with fall application and in the presentations when we do these live, you know, you had some survey data that shows that roughly about 65% of manure is applied in the fall. And I know we were looking up some data kind of prior to recording this, and that's changed a little bit. We know that the work year for most farmers is sort of dependent on what the weather is like and the amount of time that's available and so forth. And fall, typically speaking, once harvest gets rolling around, there tends to be a window in there. Obviously, if it's the chance of frost becomes high by the middle of September, so our growing season's over, yet the ground's really not frozen most years until we get to, I think the averages tell us, like early December. And so it gives us kind of a long window. And so that just tends to be what works for a lot of farmers.
Yeah, I would say that's probably one of the main reasons why we see manure application in the fall. It also gives time to kind of muck out the barns, clean everything up, heading into winter for the animals for, you know, health and safety reasons too.
We've looked at this over the years as far as management practices, and we talk about the four R's. Obviously, when you're using manure, your source is stuck. You know, you're going to have manure. And so then it's a matter of kind of modifying the rate and the timing and application and how you apply it, kind of based on what your realities are. But because of, some of that stuff, the fall application does end up being what works for a lot of farmers. I guess one of the things that we've been kind of looking at is, particularly when with all the issues relative to water quality, is kind of wanting to, if we can, sort of mimic our fall application practices to the same things that we do relative to commercial nitrogen applications. However, because it takes time to get manure applied, and in a lot of cases you're using commercial applicators, who can't just show up the day you want them. They've got their other customers too that they've got to fit in. There's kind of a wider window there in the fall, and it does require a little extra care to try and prevent the manure from getting in the water and to make sure it's there for next year's crop.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the hardest parts about fall application is just that shifting temperatures. The one thing, complicating factor with manure, is that we don't just have inorganic nitrogen like you do with fertilizer. It does have an organic portion, and the ratio of organic to inorganic does change depending on what species you have. So with our manures that inherently have more ammonium, these best management practices are going to be really important, particularly timing in the fall. As we are seeing, our falls in Minnesota have been getting progressively warmer, in some cases progressively wetter. Of course, this changes from year to year, but overall we've been seeing this warming and wetting trend, so that also complicates this manure application timing thing, because you want to get in good conditions, but you'll also want to make sure you're kind of keeping that nitrogen in the form where it's not going to be lost to the water.
Well, I know relative to the soils being wet, you know, a lot of farmers feel, and it's kind of true that if you go out in the fall as wet and you kind of compact things and you kind of, you know, chunk it up and so forth, you got freeze thaw in the winter, and then you got a chance to do secondary tillage in the spring and kind of clean that up. And that turns problematic in the spring because, you know, on the average winter, we start the spring wet and saturated. And so now you're playing a time game as far as when does the soil finally get fit to be able to go out and do that, and when do you need to get planted?
Yeah, we're going to be starting some research where we're looking at timing aspects, including fall versus spring. But we already do know some things about fall for some of the best management practices. And one of those is waiting until temperatures are cool if possible. And there's also the aspect where you can use nitrification inhibitors too. The timing aspect is really kind of interesting. We've actually done some experiments like with jars of soil, different soil types, and we've added manure or not added manure to them. And one set we kept on the counter in the lab, so it was, you know, roughly 70 degrees. Another set we put in the refrigerator, so what's that, 40 degrees Fahrenheit or so. And we just let it sit for a month and then came back and measured nitrate, ammonium in the soils. And it was actually astounding how much more nitrate there was in the jars. Didn't matter soil type or manure type. There was still way more nitrate in the soils in the jars that had been left on the counter than the ones that had been left on the refrigerator. So even just doing those little experiments ourselves, we actually saw that it really does make an impact the temperature.
Yeah, you know, the other aspect of that, we've talked about this really with everything with fall nitrogen applications, is the temperature is a major factor. But the other thing you have to realize, so the soil warm, typically we're talking about earlier, you know, the other factor is time. So when you're dealing with the warm soils, you're also usually dealing with earlier, and that means you've got more time for bad things to happen. And so that's kind of also a double whammy there. It's, you know, the one aspect, and we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about this today because it's going to be a topic for future discussion. But when we are looking at these earlier applications, we're also hoping to incorporate a cover crop in there, trying to arrest some of that nitrogen that turns into nitrate yet in the fall. But we should at least mention that that's part of the management for applications when there's still enough warmth and days left to get a cover crop germinated, that could be part of the situation also. Now, we have dealt with, in a lot of the discussions we've had, one of our advanced nitrogen SMAR sessions is dealing with climate. And when we look at the rate of mineralization based on the soil temperature, you know, that while we recommend the soil temperature be below 50 degrees for fall nitrogen applications, you know, the thing, getting back to this whole tide thing, is, you know, the other part you realize is the days are getting shorter as we move further and it's getting cooler. And so the temperature is going to continue to fall. And so when you apply at 50, actually a curve of mineralization and the rate of mineralization at 50 is not great. It's certainly a lot better than it is at much warmer temperatures. But the thing about it is a week later, it's probably more like 45, and a week later, it's probably at 40, and another week later, it's potentially down to freezing. And the rate of nitrification doesn't go down to, I don't think it completely goes to zero at all, but it gets almost zero by the time we freeze the soils. And so it's, you know, it's kind of a combination of what the soil temperature is and then how long it is before we freeze soils. And on average, we're looking, at least in southern Minnesota, most of the time we're, these days, these last decade or so, we're freezing about the first week of December, where it's frozen and stays frozen.
Yeah, and one of the things that Greg kind of alluded to as well is this, it's like a continuum. It's not like a hard stop where at 50 degrees Fahrenheit, these microbes in the soil just stop doing their jobs or their work. It's a continuum. So if you're applying early in the fall, you know, 60 is better than 70, 65 is better than 75, and so on and so forth. So the closer you can get to that 50, the better. And if you can wait until you get to 50, that's kind of our best management practice. but I realize it's a continuum.
Yeah, and I think particularly the farmers that do their own application, you know, really got to be kind of keying in on that. If you're using a commercial applicator, you're kind of at their mercy for when they can get to you. But when you got your own equipment, you really should be keying in on that 50 degree temperature and trying to, you know, you're probably watching the weather forecast also. I mean, if it looks like you've got some major, you know, a wet pattern coming in, you know, that might be a different story. But all things being equal, you probably want to key in on 50 and later.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the other things that is important to consider with manure too is that, again, because of those different nitrogen forms, we have two processes that are happening that are temperature dependent. The mineralization, which is the organic nitrogen into ammonium, and then the nitrification, which is the ammonium into nitrate. So in manures where we have a lot of organic matter, think your bedded packs, anything with a lot of bedding in it, those have that two steps that they have to get through before they get to nitrate. And nitrate is the one that we worry about. Versus something like our swine manure, our liquid dairy manures, which tend to have a lot more ammonium to begin with, they're much more likely to get to nitrate faster in these warm conditions. So these are the ones we were talking about being particularly important for this temperature aspect, to make sure those, you want to definitely wait as long in the fall as you can until the soil temperatures are cool.
And what do you think about poultry compost when it goes out?
So poultry manure is a little bit of an enigma. It has all the bedding in it, but it typically has so much nitrogen in it that even if it's like a small proportion that's mineralizing and nitrifying, it's still a lot more than some of our other manures. So that one we definitely recommend waiting until later as well. But note that it does have more of a reserve of nitrogen in it than some of the other manures too, just because there's literally so much more nitrogen in like a turkey litter or something.
And I know that a lot of, I guess, it kind of depends on where you're at, what your source is, but there's a lot of farmers who that gets hauled and then it waits in a pile until they do the application. I do tend to see that filling out a lot later in the fall. As far as other concerns with fall application, Melissa, you know, we've kind of talked about nitrification inhibitors as being a little bit of a part of this puzzle. You know, what role do you think that they play in these days? I mean, we've kind of been back and forth with those as far as whether they are actually recommended or how often do they work. Some of our neighboring states have had some kind of mixed results. Now let's talk a little bit about
Yeah, nitrification inhibitors are basically something that's, again, stopping that nitrification process, but they only work for so long. So they can probably buy you a couple extra weeks before you get to that 50 degrees. They're not going to buy you months at a time, though. So kind of keep that in mind. Some of our research has shown that if you use nitrification inhibitors in September, but soil temperatures don't get cold until November, they're probably, the nitrification inhibitors aren't going to make it. However, more of an early October thing, and then soil temperatures get cool in November, those usually last a little bit longer. And it has to do with, again, those microbes in the soil. They're breaking down the nitrification inhibitor, too. So again, the warmer and longer you have it out there, the more likely it's not going to last. But you alluded to whether it works with certain manures or not. So first off, we only really see it being applied with liquids because it can be mixed well with the liquid manures. And we've seen mixed results with dairy, but we've seen decent results with swine manure. So research in Minnesota and Iowa has shown pretty decent results with the swine manure. It's out in Wisconsin where they started working on with dairy manure that we've seen mixed results.
Yeah, and it should be pointed out, I think, you know, the primary product that's out there is Instinct, or one of the farms of Instinct, which is nitropyrin. And because that's classified as a pesticide, you know, there's been some issues about using that product and having to be a licensed applicator. I know if we go back when that product first came out on the market, there was some suggestions that perhaps you could just simply apply the Instinct and then put the manure on. You know, one of the things that we've kind of gone through with some of our other Nitrogen Smart sessions is Dan did some calculations looking at the concentration of nitropyrene in the soil for it to be effective. And we really don't recommend that practice. Applying Instinct, first of all, is volatile and it degrades in the sun real fast. But in addition to that, when you spread it out like that, it's kind of questionable whether it's even in the concentration to make it work. And so putting it in, loading it in with the manure kind of ensures that it's at a higher concentration and in the same location that the manure is at. And so I think that's an important point to emphasize.
Yeah, I think most of the research that's been done has injected the Instinct with the manure. So it's in high enough concentrations to actually work.
Yeah, I know there was early on, I think in some cases the product was being actually put in with the manure and agitated with it. There's been some questions about the corrosive nature of nitropyrene and not necessarily wanting to run that through the system. I think most manure applicators now are set up to just trickle that into the stream as it's getting pumped out. Is that correct?
Yeah, at least the systems or operators that I've seen using it have a separate tank on top of their tank, and then it kind of injects a stream of nitropyrene into the manure stream as it's exiting rather than having it mixed in with the entire stuff.
So let's talk a little bit about what research has been done. I know there's been projects in Minnesota and Iowa and Wisconsin, probably the ones that are most applicable to the folks in Minnesota. Give us a little bit of an overview of what's been looked at.
Yeah, so Jeff Vetch down at the Southern Research and Outreach Center did this research over 4 years, and they compared manure, liquid swine finishing manure. They applied in October or November, and they did without Instinct. So that's kind of our standard practice, with a full rate of Instinct and then with a double rate, because, you know, us scientists are like, well, let's just double it and see what happens. What they found is they looked then in the spring at soil or inorganic nitrogen down to a foot, and then they looked at yield. So the soil inorganic nitrogen in the spring, whenever Instinct was used or nitropyrene was used, there was a lot more nitrogen left in the ammonium form than in the nitrate form compared to where there was no nitropyrene used. In that case, it was almost 50-50, the ammonium versus nitrate. So it seemed like it was doing a pretty good job of keeping the nitrate in the ammonium form, which is what it's supposed to do. But the question always is, does this actually translate then to yield? Because, right, you're paying more for this product, so do you get more yield then?
Well, one of the issues always with nitropyrene, it's never a question of whether it works. It always works. It's a question of whether it worked long enough and at the right time for it to have made a difference. And, you know, did it wear off before there was still a critical point in the potential for losing nitrogen?
I guess the question always is too, like, when you're putting it on in the fall, there's always, like, that's such a long time period.
Right.
People are always worried that it's not there. But in this case, you know, averaged over 4 years and they had all kinds of different seasons, it was still there and still working in the spring.
And, you know, the one aspect, and we just got done talking a little bit about soil temperature, is that I've always found intriguing is they did two timings of application. They did October and they did a November application. And while they found that the Instinct made a big difference in October, it didn't make as big of a difference as if they just simply waited to apply in November.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the November also made a difference. And so, you know, it's not just a matter of, well, we can put on Instinct and then we can apply early. Yeah, if you applied early, Instinct helped a lot, but it didn't help as much as just simply delaying the application until soil temperatures got cool.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we found, or what they found in the yield results, is that if you did not use Instinct in October, yield was 15 to 20 bushels lower than when you did use Instinct, and the rate didn't really matter as much. The full rate was sufficient compared to the double rate. But if you went into November, the yields are almost the same, regardless of whether you used Instinct or not. So in that case, you know, maybe it doesn't make sense. If you can wait, maybe it doesn't make sense to use the Instinct.
And that could also be a portion of that. You know, what you talked about earlier, that in a lot of cases, we're also trying to mineralize that nitrogen first, and then it's got to be converted to nitrate, and that extra step might be some of that difference. How does that contrast with what they found in Iowa and in Wisconsin?
In Iowa, it was almost the exact same study, very similar setup, and they found very similar trends. The difference was in Wisconsin when they moved to dairy manure. They kind of did it first where they broadcast the dairy manure, and that was just their first test with and without Instinct, and they think that it was kind of like we talked before, the concentrations just weren't high enough, so they didn't really see good results. But then they did move into injecting the manure, and they did it at three different sites, two different years, each year at three sites, and they did like early fall, late fall, spring application with and without Instinct, and they actually only found a difference in like two treatments out of all six of those site years. In this case, it's just so variable that they don't think it makes sense to recommend it in Wisconsin. And I tend to agree. I think that's probably because the dairy manure has a lot more in the organic form. So the Instinct isn't acting on that. The Instinct is working on the inorganic portion, and that's a lower part of the manure when it comes to dairy.
All right. Well, so we're kind of wrapping this up. I guess I'll summarize the soil temperature stuff and say, we'd like you to wait until it's 50 degrees, but if you can't, 55 is better than 60 and so forth. But the cooler, the better. And Melissa, maybe you'd like to just summarize what our current recommendations are for using nitropyrin and manure applications.
Yeah, for nitropyrin and our nitrification inhibitors, if you want to put on a few weeks early, you think the soil temperatures are getting close, but they're not quite there, but you need to put on the manure because we know that happens. And the nitrification inhibitors can work for liquid manures, particularly liquid swine manure. For dairy, it's still kind of out whether it's useful or not. Unfortunately, we don't have a product like that for our solid manures at this time.
Have a question about something you see on your farm? Send an email to either Brad or Melissa at nutmgmt@umn.edu. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Advancing Nitrogen Smart is proud to be supported by the farm families of Minnesota and their Corn Checkoff investment through Minnesota Corn.